The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is That's a Laugh. For the next half hour, I'll be reading excerpts of funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes from various sources that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. Happy belated New Year's greetings, my dear listeners. We begin this year of TAL with a rant, reflection of last year. From the book, 'Tis the Season to Feel Inadequate, Holidays, Special Occasions, and Other Times Our Celebrations Get Out of Hand, written by Dorothy Rosby, copyright 2022. The chapter, Blue Christmas. Belated holiday greetings. Yes, I realize I'm very late getting my Christmas letter out, but there's a good reason for that. I'm late writing it. We have much to be grateful for in the Rosby household. None of us had any major injuries, serious illnesses, or cavities last year. Our only health problems were minor ones, although a cold did cause me to miss 2 Christmas parties. This was disappointing because I heard later that the food was excellent at both and that there was mistletoe at one of them. But I felt I should stay home and keep my germs to myself, and anyway, I'd lost my voice. Who wants to stand around and let everyone else do the talking all night? Yes, I ended the year with a case of laryngitis and a house full of guests. I'm not sure, but it seems like they enjoyed their stay more because of it. I found myself weighing the importance of every word I wanted to speak against the pain, and most times I decided it wasn't worth the effort. I resolved to continue considering my words as carefully after my voice returned, and so far I've kept that resolution, as well as I've kept all the others. Incidentally, my cold also put the kibosh on my Christmas shopping. On the bright side, this saved me a lot of money, which I was able to use on a terrific new set of casserole dishes. And it was about time. Every single casserole dish my husband and I received when we were married has been broken. Fortunately, the manufacturer says our new set is virtually unbreakable, and that appears to be true, for all but one lid. So far. In March, we painted and put new carpet in our office and bedrooms. And by we, I mean my husband who painted, and the carpenter guy who laid the carpet. My job was to pick colors. I voted for blue everything, and my husband agreed. He'd read that blue is calming, and I guess he thought I needed that. The timing was good, because shortly after I moved back into my office, our internet went down. I needed to call my provider to get help, but I didn't know their number, and I couldn't search for it online because, well, my internet was down. I tracked down an old phone book and discovered that the number wasn't in it. If I hadn't been standing in my new soothing blue office, I might have been really upset. Oh, wait. I'd barely regained my composure when one of us, I'm not saying who, spilled an entire 8-ounce glass of cranberry juice on the old carpet in our basement just days after it had been cleaned. Unfortunately, it's cream-colored and not soothing at all. Thanks to quick thinking and an entire bottle of stain remover, now you can hardly tell it happened. But when the lighting is just right, you can barely make out what looks like a faint map of Australia on our carpet. I received a speeding ticket this fall, which is always painful. This one was made even more embarrassing by the fact that my cell phone rang just as the officer came up to my car. Thankfully, she didn't find me as much as she could have. It may have worked in my favor that I kept the call short. And I broke my glasses, which many people would consider clumsy. But anyone would have done the same thing under the circumstances. They were lying on the floor, right where I stepped. After that, I went into my new blue bedroom and sat for a really long time. But all in all, things are not too bad. Another year has passed without my giving in to my husband's pleas for a Harley Davidson. Most of our friends and relatives are still speaking to us. And I have now gotten my Christmas letter done well before Valentine's Day. Sincerely, Dorothy, writing from my new blue office. In our next story, Dorothy Rosby explains how to give the perfect hint for gifts you didn't get for Christmas. The chapter, All I Wanted for Christmas and Didn't Get. My tires went flat, my oven died, and my printer stopped printing. All just before Christmas. This was lucky, because I was able to hint to everyone I know that all I wanted for Christmas was a new gas oven, a new printer, and a new set of tires. Some people think practical items like these don't make good gifts, but those people have never priced gas ovens. I guess my hints weren't clear enough because I didn't find tires, a printer, or an oven under my tree. It's not too late. I would still graciously accept all the above for early birthday gifts. My birthday isn't until August, but even I can't do without an oven for that long. I honestly don't know how I could have worn our oven out. When it started taking longer to finish the job, I thought it was because of the dust that settled in it. Just to be sure, I called a very nice repairman. He said it wasn't the dust. We both thought he'd fixed the problem, but my Thanksgiving turkey didn't agree. Neither did the guests I'd invited to eat it. So I called the oven technician again. He did what he could, but in the end, he pronounced my oven terminal. He told me it may work for a while, but it won't be very reliable, much like the cook who uses it. That was 3 weeks before Christmas. Some people would see this as a problem. But where other people see a problem, I see an opportunity. The opportunity to get out of baking. Now that the Christmas baking season is over, I could really use a new oven. Hint, hint. My printer has been making more noise than seems necessary lately. It's also been giving me error messages about something called an ink pump, which sounds vital in a printer. Sometimes the printer prints, but more and more often it doesn't. The problem seemed to get worse just at the time when organized people were copying Christmas letters for those they care about. I care about people too, but my printer wasn't working. Also, I didn't write a Christmas letter. Around that time, my front driver's side tire was low. I limped to the tire shop where the tire man told me the problem was the bead. Did I know what a bead is? Yes, I said. I know beads when I see them, but what does that have to do with my tire? The bead, he said, refers to the edge of the tire that sits on the wheel. Oh, even I can tell why it would be better if it sat there right. He fixed the tire, but a few days later my front passenger side tire was low. This time, the problem was a nail. I do know what a nail is. The tire man fixed that too, but he told me nails and beads are the least of my worries. I said, "I know. Both my oven and my printer aren't working." He said that I should add to the list that my tires need replacing. I refused to believe it. Everything can't fall apart at once, can it? Someone suggested I try the penny test to see for myself. You place a penny upside down in the tire tread, and if you can still see all of Lincoln's hair, you need new tires. My good friend Google said a quarter works even better. I haven't purchased a new printer or a new gas oven yet, so I still have some pennies and quarters left. And after consulting with Lincoln and Washington, both wise presidents with fine heads of hair, I decided that, yes, I do indeed need new tires. I guess that's how life is sometimes. You're going along fine when suddenly your Thanksgiving turkey takes an extra hour to cook, your printer stops printing, and politicians can no longer hide in your tire tread. Don't feel bad for me, but if you do, send pennies and quarters. A lot of them. Hint, hint. Next up, Dorothy Rosby helps us understand why some of the things that seem like a great idea at year's end don't really make sense after the new year rings in. The chapter, No Way to Start a New Year. Happy New Year to you and yours. I hope you rang it in at a raucous gathering with lots of friends and loud music, unless you're like me. Then I hope you didn't. Then I hope you had a quiet evening with a few loved ones and fell asleep early despite the racket next door. I'm a morning person, which means New Year's Day is more meaningful to me than New Year's Eve, if only because I'm awake for it. If I sleep past 6 on New Year's Day, I feel like the year is off to a bad start. And if I saw the new year in at all, it was only because I woke up at midnight to use the bathroom. My personal tradition is to bid the old year a gentle good night around 10 o'clock, then wake up before my family does on New Year's Day and sit by the Christmas tree with my cat, my caffeine, and my journal. I write about what I accomplished during the past year, which doesn't take long, and where I fell short, which does. The fun part is writing about what I'm looking forward to in the new year. At that point, I still have the optimism that accompanies New Year's Day, a glorious feeling that I'll have until at least January 2nd. I suspect my quiet New Year's ritual puts me in the minority. A quick internet search reveals hundreds of New Year's Eve traditions here and around the globe, and many fewer for New Year's Day, probably because so many people are sleeping off their hangovers. There are some common ingredients of New Year's celebrations here and abroad. Alcohol, food, fireworks, alcohol, kissing, bells, resolutions, and alcohol. As the designated driver at every party I attend, I can only guess that alcohol allows the revelers to forget the worst of the past year and start the new one off just as badly. My family doesn't have any particular New Year's food traditions, though we do always eat something. But food traditions around the world run the gamut from grapes to seafood to sauerkraut. In some countries, they hide coins or other objects in their food, and it's believed that if you find one, you'll have good luck in the new year. Unless you choke or break a tooth, which is no way to start a new year. One of the most prominent celebrations in our country is the ball drop held in New York City's Times Square. I've dropped the ball many times, but I've never considered it anything to celebrate. Still, the popularity of this spectacle has inspired many other drop events. There's the peach drop in Georgia, the music note drop in Nashville, and the possum drop in Brasstown, North Carolina. You'll be relieved to learn that the celebratory possum is lowered over the noisy crowd in a transparent box rather than dropped. That would be a terrible way to begin a new year if you're a possum. In parts of South Africa, they don't drop balls, peaches, or possums. They throw the furniture. Throwing old furniture out the window symbolizes casting out the old and starting fresh. Italians throw old kitchen crockery and other items out the window for the same reason. Neither tradition is as common as it once was, though, maybe because it isn't the best way to start a new year for anyone walking by the window. Furniture and crockery stores appreciated it, though. In parts of the world, Malaysia, the Balkans, the Middle East, parts of Afghanistan, and elsewhere, some folks ring in a new year with celebratory gunfire. One hopes those shooting haven't had too much champagne. There are many other unusual traditions for wrapping up an old year and kicking off a new one. Wearing yellow underwear in Venezuela and red ones in Italy and Spain, breaking plates in Denmark, and walking around with an empty suitcase in Ecuador. Yes, it's peculiar, but it beats lugging around a full one. Finally, there's that ubiquitous tradition of making New Year's resolutions. There is something about starting a new year that inspires us all. Suddenly, all things are possible. We are motivated, enthusiastic, and confident. Overnight, we feel like we've gained the power to change ourselves and transform our lives. This is the year we finally become the people we've always wanted to be. Then comes January 2nd. Talk about dropping the ball. You can almost hear the collective sigh as people everywhere fail at whatever it is they resolved to do. It's the oops heard around the world. And it's a terrible way to start a new year. Vowing to get fit, get organized, save money, and spend more time with our family is a lot of pressure to put on ourselves and our family, especially when we're still recovering from New Year's Eve. But if we can't let the resolution tradition die, I suggest we start making them in late December, so we won't have to live with them so long. Speaking of January 2nd, did you know that it is also a holiday? In our next story, Dorothy Rosby explains why so few people have likely heard about it. The chapter, I Like You Very Much, But Please Go. For those of us who've been craving a little silent night since Thanksgiving, there was World Introvert Day on January 2nd, and I missed it. Introverts being introverts, I guess no one was out there promoting it. World Introvert Day has been around for more than a decade, and I've just learned about it myself. Apparently, it was the brainchild of psychologist and author Felicitas Haney, who decided rightly that introverts needed a day to go dormant after the holiday season. Had I known about it sooner, I would have holed up at home on January 2nd. Oh, wait, that's what I did. I'm an introvert myself, which comes as a surprise to some people who know me. That's because they don't understand introverts. Extroverts sometimes confuse introversion with shyness. They think all introverts blush when we talk to other people and hide in the bathroom during our own birthday parties. I've never done that. That's no place to eat birthday cake. Some extroverts think introverts are unfriendly, even rude. They think we keep our blinds closed all day and grouse at the neighborhood children to stay off our lawns. I'll have you know, the three young boys who live next door to me regularly play on my lawn. And I'm hardly ever rude, except in traffic. Introversion is simply a difference in our brains, which I won't go into because I'm an introvert, not a scientist. But I can tell you this. Introverts are renewed from within through solitude and reflection, while extroverts recharge by being around people and other outside stimuli, much of which introverts find appalling. The stimuli, not the people. We like people, just not when they run in packs or come to our door unexpectedly. An introvert would rather email than call someone. And when we do call, we're not disappointed when we have to leave a message. We like to shop in stores where there aren't very many other customers. Unfortunately, our favorite stores don't stay in business long. We'd rather go to lunch with one or two friends than go to a dinner party or, heaven forbid, a mixer. Introverts are afraid mixers are how we'll spend all eternity if we die and go to hell. I worked in several restaurants when I was young, and as an introvert, I preferred my job as a dishwasher to the one I had waiting tables. Unfortunately, no one tips the dishwasher. I don't tell my extroverted friends when my husband is going out of town because they'll think I want company. I love my husband, but I treasure my time alone. He doesn't take it personally because he feels the same way. I hope it's because he's an introvert too. Some experts estimate that up to 50% of the population are introverted, though no one knows for sure because introverts tend to avoid surveyors. According to my research, some really successful people are introverts, including Meryl Streep, Steve Martin, and J.K. Rowling. Rosa Parks, Mahatma Gandhi, Albert Einstein, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln were all supposedly introverts too. None of them could have accomplished all they did if they'd been out partying every night. Most billionaires, including Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and Dorothy Rosby, are introverts too. I was just seeing if you were paying attention. You extroverts who've read this far may be wondering why there isn't a special holiday for you. Listen to yourself. Every holiday is for you. Name one major holiday where the tradition is to stay home and read a good book. I'd go so far as to say we live in an extrovert's world. Why do you think there are stadiums, bus tours, shopping malls, and open office spaces? If I worked in one of those, I'd get even less work done than I do now. You may also be wondering how the introverts in your life will observe World Introvert Day next year, and will there be a party? No, there will not. That doesn't mean we won't be celebrating the day, though. We'll just be doing it quietly and separately. Now that we've finally moved on from the last holiday season, it's time to jump into the next one with Dorothy Rosby's suggestions for telling your special someone how you really feel during the romantic holiday. The chapter, Valentine Verses. Struggling to say just the right thing to your sweetheart this Valentine's Day? Try one of the following clever, sentimental verses I've come up with. Just select the verse that fits your relationship and copy it onto a heart-shaped piece of red construction paper. Use more than one verse if you think your relationship can handle it. Your spouse is sure to treasure your simple homemade card as much as any gift. But to be on the safe side, you might want to give one of those, too. Verses for your Valentine. Darling, love is a mystery, and so is the reason you put empty cereal boxes back in the cupboard. To my very fit spouse, from this Valentine's Day forward, I promise to go the extra mile in our relationship if you will go the extra foot. That's all it would take for you to carry your dirty dishes from the sink to the dishwasher. My fascinating Valentine, I love to listen to you talk and talk and talk. To my big, strong husband, if anyone is tough enough to lift his dirty clothes off the floor and toss them into the hamper, it's you. Oh, baby, you're hot, but I'm freezing. Touch that thermostat again, and I'll trade you in for an electric blanket. To my companion on life's highway, yes, I think you're a good driver, and with some coaching from me, you could be a great driver. We've run out of time for today's episode of That's a Laugh. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please be sure to tune in next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. That's a Laugh is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. Our number one more time is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.